So the stages
were all set already. Everything was out there. I showed up the next morning after watching the radar all night long. And I was just hoping and praying. The ditches were getting deeper as we were getting closer to the range. And I was like, this is not looking good. And sure enough, we pulled in and the parking lot was underwater. And there's videos and pictures of me walking out, picking up props that are floating away. And the water was over my knees, basically, throughout the whole
race. Wow.
So not super great, but we persevered. We ended up having to pick everything up and rebuild it the next month. Not super fun. But it ended up happening, you know. And everybody was happy in the long run. It still was a little soggy, but it's basically at that point we were shooting on the bottom of a freshly dried lake bed.
First match ever where it's required to have waiters.
Right. There were some people that actually were upset that I canceled the match. I'm like, brother, you're more than welcome to come shoot it. I'll get a kayak and we'll do this thing.
Giant boats are not allowed.
Right. I mean, but yeah, that was stressful. Goodness.
Yeah, I bet. Holy cow. Man. I've heard rumors of a match where I'm at that was like that, except the water was running, and people said the water was like mid shin, and if you dropped a mag, they were gone. Yeah, they were swept away.
I don't doubt it. But there's probably still a bunch of mags out there. The Mississippi Classic is notorious for being extra muddy, like 6 inches of mud, not water.
Ooh.
And I think the range has still got quite a few people's mags stuck in the dirt, probably six inches deep.
Get some metal detectors out there.
Yeah, I'd be fighting through a lot of brass and steel cased ammo trying to find them things.
Oh, good Lord. Luck. Disregard. Wow. So you've only been the section coordinator now for less than a year.
Yeah. So officially, I don't think the term started until January of this year. But I was sort of running things. I'd already taken over the section email, the section bank account, and stuff like that back in October. So we're probably, 6 months in now, technically? 3 months in, 4 months in officially?
Yeah. What is it? We're April 8th, so we're 3 months and a week in?
Yeah. Yep. Not much.
No, not much at all. So, okay. Switching a little bit now and talking about the protest somewhat. For your section, from what you've heard, the feedback that you get, the conversations, what would it take for the Louisiana section to go back to USPSA matches?
That's a tough one. So when this originally went down, Scott got removed from Area 3, and then I think it was like South Carolina, North Carolina. I can't remember which one Stephanie Berry is the section coordinator of.
North Carolina.
She ended up announcing, I think she was the first one to announce the protest. I already felt that way, but I didn't want to be the one to pull the trigger, like the first section coordinator to do it. I didn't want to push it on the membership at all. And but through my inner circle, we had already kind of talked about, like, this is, you know, at that point, there were some things leading up to that, but that was kind of like the final straw, really.
Mm-hmm.
But then when Stephanie went, I think then Georgia went, and then I talked to the Mississippi section coordinator, and he was going to make the announcement. Now, that's when I brought it to the membership at some of the club matches and was like, look, guys, this is the word on the streets. This is what the sentiment is from a lot of other section coordinators. I think that you know, this is one of those opportunities where you have enough steam and you've got enough going on that it's like a now or never type of deal. And obviously voting didn't matter much because they just remove your guy if you pushed back too hard. So this was like the one time that we actually had a chance to make a difference if we kind of piled on with everybody, because Area 3 all jumped out at the same time. Then it was Stephanie, then Georgia, then Mississippi, Louisiana. So it was creating, you know, there was a steamroll effect. We were getting a snowball effect. And I didn't want to miss that opportunity. And surprisingly, bringing it up at club matches, a lot of people felt the same way. So they supported it. And they still, to this day, support it. Matter of fact, on that note, we just had, when the whole thing went down, I don't want to jump ahead, but when the whole thing went down with Ken Cobb just here recently, one of our clubs decided, after announcing the match as Hit Factor, they decided to switch it to USPSA. And all but, it was like 55 people in the match at the time registered. Within like 10 hours, it was down to 10 people. So,
whoa,
45 shooters decided to not shoot that match based on it being switched to USPSA. So it's still pretty strong down here. It's not something that I'm leading from the top down. I had nothing to do with that club switching to USPSA or the people leaving that match. It's very personal for a lot of these people now with them seemingly coming after me. Cause like I said, we're influential. Me and my wife put on most of the matches down here. We're down here setting up every one of these matches. Everybody knows that most of these matches, the stages are probably designed by me. We're out there setting up a couple of them every weekend. Like, they get to shoot because of what we do. And to see that somebody who knows nothing about me and just knows that we're a part of the protest come after me, they're like, you know, for the people that were on the fence, that kind of pushed them off the fence. And, you know, now it's personal. So for them to have swapped to USPSA in the midst of all that, I think it was just bad timing for the club. But I think it's proof to people like Ken that going too soon without any information to give these guys to get them back on USPSA side is just club suicide. You know, they ended up canceling the match. And because of that, we ended up having to host a match at another club just to give everybody somewhere to shoot.
But you just made more friends.
Yeah, and I think that some people made some enemies. You know, and that's the part about this whole thing that I don't like. You know, obviously we knew that there was going to be a divide. There's going to be some people who just want to shoot, and there's some people that, you know, feel like we're being wronged by the organization. We're not being represented. And, I mean, obviously the proof's with this stuff going on with Area 4 now that, you know, we're doing everything we can. We want to be back in USPSA. We don't want this stuff to be going on, but we also need some of these terms to be met. You know, Scott, I don't think should have been removed, but Area 3 is going on like, what, 5 months now almost of not being represented at all.
Yeah.
And we're continuing to make changes. We're making, you know, appointees to committees and stuff like that. And Area 3 gets no voice. So I think that's one of the big things that our section wants to see is obviously Area 3 to get some representation. And for them to just back off most of these tactics they've been going on here lately, it seems like they've been trying to fight with us instead of compromise with us. And I think that's the big disconnect that they have. Is that, right. Yeah, go ahead.
And that's what I was leaning towards when I said friends, but I want to back up for just a moment, because before we get into the Ken Cobb situation, what was the relationship with the section like with Mel? Because it started...
Ooh.
Everything already start was in process before Ken came on board. Mm-hmm. So how was Mel reacting to everything going on with the section while he was the area director?
Yeah, so the only time I ever heard from Mel was when I let him know that I was taking over as section coordinator. He just kind of said, hey, you know, welcome aboard type of deal. But I've never heard, and that's something I've mentioned to the board here recently, is the fact that as a section coordinator, even reaching out to other section coordinators, there is no top-down guidance from anybody. The area directors, unless you reach out to them directly, they don't reach out to you. They don't update you on anything. They don't, like, even as coming on and saying, like, hey, I'm a new section coordinator, I don't even know what my job is, basically. I mean, the bylaws kind of lay out a few things, but beyond that, there's, you know, I don't know what my job is. No, I don't think a lot of these section coordinators do. They just kind of figure it out as they go. And so that was the thing with Mel, is it was really just a sort of a nothing burger. I don't think I've ever heard from him. He didn't do anything in meetings other than vote whichever way Layton and Russell did. I mean, he contributed nothing. And I think that section felt that way. There was a couple people that are friends with him personally, but he didn't do anything for the sport, for the section, for anything, as far as I'm concerned. He was just another vote for the legacy guys.
Okay. So I think it was December 18th. They voted Scott off the board.
Mm-hmm.
The January meeting, Mel resigns.
Yeah. After trying to get rid of Frank Rizzi for basically the same infraction that he had earlier, you know, what, eight months earlier.
Right. Now, in that 3 to 4 week time frame, we'll call it 4 weeks, obviously the Louisiana section, the North Carolina started, I mean, this was like the Civil War all over. You know, you had one state say we're seceding, and then there's a domino effect. So you have one section saying we're seceding, we're not giving the USPSA any money. There's a domino effect. In that time frame, did Mel have any reaction at all?
No. Okay. Never reached out to me once. Never asked what was going on. Like, what can we do to make things better? Or, you know, nothing. Not a single email. Matter of fact, the only person who did, because we all sent emails to the board when that went down, the only person who reached out was Jake Martins, and he just wanted to pick a fight. I think I even posted a lot of that stuff on social media when it was going down. But he immediately just started to try to pick a fight. I can't even remember what his talking points were, but just very combative. And it was like, Jake, I sent this to the board. Like, I'm not talking to you, Mr. Media.
Well, you're a grown man. I'm a grown man. How much of that do you think is concern for his employment? Because the USPSA starts losing money like that, and now you have to slim down. Does that not put his job in jeopardy?
I think so too. I think for sure. And I think that's one of the first thing people go to whenever they talk about the money situation with USPSA is, why are we still getting a magazine, you know, sent to us? It's the digital age. We can all see it. Most of us see it on the website before we get the magazine anyways.
Right.
You know, I don't remember what membership my wife has, but we get two magazines
shipped to us.
And individual shipping. It's like, I feel like that's a huge waste. I don't know how much that actually costs, but I think that's usually like the first thing people talk about being on the chopping block when it comes to the financials. And obviously I think that's one of Jake's biggest things is that magazine. Obviously, okay. He'd still have to create the content, but it's a little less valuable when you're not sending out hard copies, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I finally found the spot on the website where I could cancel my physical copy and just get the digital. But I'll be honest with you, since I did that, I have not looked at a single episode of the, it's not Front Sight Magazine anymore. It's, we'll call it USPSA Magazine. I haven't looked at it.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I think somebody mentioned it recently on social media. They don't do the downrange cameras anymore. So like even the pictures aren't that good. You got the back of people and stuff. I mean, it's just, once again, it's just not what it once was. Everything's gotten so politically correct. And like, you got people being like, well, how'd that picture get taken? He looks like he's downrange. He's unsafe, you know?
Oh, right.
I just think that, it's run its course. At one point in time, the magazines were probably really cool. But we live in the digital age. We've already seen that match on social media 3 months before it comes out in the magazine. You know, it used to be everybody's way of being caught up with what's going on in the country as far as USPSA is concerned. But with social media, I mean, we know about everything already. So I don't know what purpose it really serves other than to maybe make sponsors happy by giving them an ad spot, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't consider myself media, but what I do is media related. Okay.
Right.
I have no special training or education in this, but what I will say is I feel like the USPSA is leaving a lot of meat on the bone with their media coverage of their major matches like nationals. I mean, they have to wait 3 months for something to hit Shooting USA,
right.
Which, that coverage is great. I always wait for it to come out. I record them, you know, so I can watch them later. But in those 3 months, why couldn't you be putting your own media stuff out about it? YouTube, Rumble, Instagram, Facebook, everywhere. Just flood the internet with, you know, video footage, interviews, all this different stuff in the meantime, which also, you know, you're going to include sponsor stuff from the stages. You can put logos on there. You know, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of meat left on the bone.
100%.
In the media aspect of it.
100%. But that's the thing is it's videos and it's, you know, stuff like that. It's not pieces of paper with pictures on them of the back of people's heads shooting a level two.
Right.
You know?
I don't think I've ever picked anybody out from the back of their head.
Right. But
I don't know if that's Nils or JJ.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the the hot, what was it, Hot Shots back in the day, like 2012 to 2014, they were doing that Hot Shots thing.
I've heard about it, but I've never actually seen it.
Oh, man, that used to be the thing. It followed, like, KC and Max and stuff like that around to all the different nationals, and you got to see him try to do the Triple Crown or whatever when he was going for the Steel Challenge, Pro-Am, and Handgun Nationals at the time.
Now, who was doing that?
I don't know. I don't know if it was, like, a network or something that was doing it. I think it was a network that was doing it, but I thought that was really cool because you actually got to see him at home, the home life stuff and everything. It kind of celebritized him a little bit, and it was fun to watch. It was real. You know what I mean? It's not just the shooting. It's not just the glamorous stuff. You got to see all of it. If you haven't seen him, I highly suggest going back and watching. It is a very cool show, and it wasn't just USPSA. It was like, they had the three-gun guy on there and stuff like that. They had an exhibitionist guy at one point in time that was shooting arrows and stuff.
Naked? Exhibitionist?
No. He was the type that doing like balloon pops and stuff at concerts and everything. But it was just neat to see all the different disciplines of shooting and what some of these professional shooters, the guys that got paid to do this for a living, you know, following them around like like the old MTV reality TV shows type of deal. It was a different look, and I enjoyed it, at least. I don't know what the viewership is on that.
Well, I mean, we have so many. I'm willing to bet that at all of the national events, you've got employees, USPSA employees who are there. Why not find out a way to get more media footage, so at the end of the match you can put stuff together? Look, I love what F5 is doing with their little promo videos, but it's just a, you know, a 10-30 second little snippet of something during the match, where I feel like if you compile video from the match, like Carry Optics Nationals over 3 days, you could really put together a good 20-minute video to put out there to flood the network with, you know, on YouTube, Rumble, all of it, once again, to try to get more exposure, you know?
Oh, I agree. I mean, there's content creators out there that are doing that, and some of them aren't even, like, professional shooters or whatever, but they're, I mean, they're getting a ton of views on that stuff. When it's entertaining to watch, and like you're saying, it's a ton of footage and stuff like that where you can actually make a good edit, it brings in the viewers. So I don't know why they don't utilize that more. I think, you know, I've been to nationals. I've seen Shooting USA out there falling around the super squad and stuff. But, I feel like that's the only thing that you get to see, really, is just that one super squad from that one match. And, you know, they're limited on what they can show. You don't get to see any of the up-and-coming people, you know, like who to watch out for and stuff. It's just the same people every year. And it's the same thing every year, you know.
And not all of the super squad people are on the super squad.
Yeah, that too.
There's been a couple of years where Jay Beal has ended up top five, and he wasn't on the super squad.
Yeah, I shot with him at Ipsic Nationals. Was that November? That dude's a monster.
Yeah, he is. And one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
Truly, truly. He really is.
Yeah, he's just a good human being and a phenomenal shooter. So, yeah.
Yep. It's a phenomenal blueberry farmer, it seems. I've been seeing him on Instagram.
And barefooted Lego walker.
Yeah, he's gone viral with that. But that kind of ties into what we've been talking about. Like, that we're in the era of viralness. So, you know, you've got to utilize the clickbait. You got to get some funny clips and stuff like that. Like, people's attention spans are shorter than ever. So if you don't have something that grabs them right away, you know, they're clicking off. We all get the insights these days, so we know how long people stuck around in the video and, you know, what's working, what's not. But I don't think USPSA is on that front yet as far as, like, figuring out what works and what doesn't, because they have a product they can sell. They just are really terrible at selling it.
Well, I had a conversation today. It'll come out later, probably tomorrow. But one of the things I said in there was, I think that goes back to the leadership of the organization, because Jake should be doing media stuff. Jake shouldn't be doing match directing stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, let him do the job you're paying him to do.
Exactly.
And give him what he needs to be successful. Now, if he still can't do it after that, if people have an issue with what he's doing Then you deal with it at that point. But do we know that any of these people have actually been given the tools they need to succeed?
That's true. That's true. I mean, I don't know for sure, but yeah, I think that part is kind of true. But I think I don't want to call anybody old or anything, but I feel like that the average age on the board for a long time was probably like 60 plus. And, you know, like you've been talking about with the book thing and stuff like that, but the book question, you know, we're in a different era. There's the majority of the people competing, especially at the top level and stuff like that, are the most of the people that would be on like the social medias, the Instagrams and Facebooks and stuff like that, are your younger crowd. And so that, you know, they just don't know what the audience is looking for. And they don't know how to create something that, you know, a big video, a big audience would watch. I think we're still too niche. You know what I'm saying? We're expecting that people care about this so they'll watch it, but you know, we still don't want to be bored.
It's no different than the TV market. You know, they have like the 18 to 54 year old demographic. That's the big one. Well, for USPSA, it's probably that 15 to 35.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. It needs to be marketed for that demographic, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe they just, I don't know what the issue is. I just think there's a lot of meat on the bone. So
I agree 100%. And it ties into what I was talking about earlier with the pro-am stuff and stuff like that. I mean, having something more spectator friendly as far as like reactive targets and stuff. I know, you know, for most of what we do, the paper is important, but we could do some promo match type stuff with the knockdown steel. I don't know why Pro-Am disappeared. I don't know if it was like a money thing or whatever. I wasn't around, I don't think, at the time when Pro-Am disappeared, but that was one of the coolest matches. That was one of the things I always wanted to go out and compete. You could bring friends and family and they would know what's going on. You know, I've brought people to USPSA matches and they don't know what's going on. You can't see the hits. They don't know what the hit factors mean. You don't even know how many points you got on that stage until the end of the match when you find out who set the high hit factor. Like, it's just hard to track, you know?
Right. It is.
So I think that being able to do some other things while still being underneath the USPSA umbrella would be beneficial. You know, they took over multi-gun, they took over three-gun, they took over Steel Challenge. I think Pro-Am needs to be a thing. I think that would catch on nationally pretty big.
Well, and I'm going to go back to leadership again, because if you look at those things, how much focus is put on multi-gun? How much focus is put on Steel Challenge? How much focus is put on shotgun or rifle world shoot?
Right.
None.
Yep.
I mean, I just had a conversation with a gentleman where we talked about rifle world shoot, another gentleman running for a different area. And, you know, there are no qualifiers. It was all determined by committee. And the gentleman who medaled in 2019 isn't even on the Rifle World Shoot team, and he still actively competes.
Jeez.
You know, so it's like, this stuff really needs to be set down in policy so everybody knows exactly what it is, how people get slots, all of that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I think nationals should be seeded some type of way too. You know, there was like last year, like I was saying about the wait list for Open PCC, you know, I forget what place I ended up finishing the first year. I FTSA to target 2022 nationals. I FTSA to target on the first stage, so my match was blown up from there. I ended up clawing back to like 21st or something like that in PCC, but I wanted to redeem myself last year and couldn't get into the match, you know. And in the meantime, you see, no offense to them, but you got C and D class people going to nationals, and arguably the best shooter from Louisiana couldn't get in.
Okay.
You know, so I think
that's what you're saying. Yeah.
I think that would put, I know they want to fill the match and financially they need to. But I feel like first dibs, like it almost should be a tiered system so that you can get some of the top guys out there competing. Cause there's people that if I missed out, there's got to be other people that missed out. So you never really are getting a true, like, who's the greatest in the country. You're really getting just who is the greatest that could make it.
Corey, do you guys shoot IDPA much?
I don't. We do have, I think every club down here does have an IDPA weekend, but I haven't stepped into that realm yet.
The reason I'm asking is this. Did you know they have a point system to get into nationals?
No, I didn't.
So they have a point system. So Dave Riddle has, I've earned 40 points from shooting majors. Corey Yates has accrued 50 points shooting majors. We're both on the wait list. Guess who's getting in first? Corey Yates.
See, I like that.
Yeah, maybe that. And it just dawned on me when you said a seeded, you know, some type of weighted system. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what it is. The more majors you participate in, the more points you earn. And so if you don't have a slot, Nationals opens up and people can register. A week later, people are notified who gets in.
Right.
Because that gives you 7 days of open registration to put your name on a list. And then they put that through their Excel spreadsheet.
Right.
Determine who are the top competitors, you know, the top, let's say there's 150 slots available for open registration. They take the top 150 based on their weighted system they're in.
Yeah, I like that. I never understood that. I went to Nationals the first year I went and started shooting. I'm looking at the plaque right now. It was B-class open at the time. But I remember thinking it was the coolest thing. It was like a vacation. I'm going to the national championship. But I never kind of felt like I deserved to be there. I think it would have been cooler to know that I earned being there. You know, it meant something more than just who could afford to go. But last year when I missed out on going for my redemption, that it kind of made me a little salty. And it was like, man, I just wish that, you know, it wasn't the people that got on and signed up on time and had the $400 to spend or, you know, whatever it ends up being with hotel and airfare and everything else to get all the way up to Ohio. It would be nice if it was actually like a national championship where it was the best of the best. It was, you know, your top guys from each section or however they work it, whether it's seeded through area matches or, you know, each section gets to send their top guy for each division or whatever. It just would be cool to see, you know, I know that it's going to be the same top 10 most of the time, but it still would be cool to see the best of the best compete instead of 15 of the best and 300 of everybody else.
Well, educate me here for a minute. As I understand it, how the sections give away their slots is up to each individual section. Like they have their own bylaws.
Yeah.
But I know of clubs getting slots for nationals and they can give them to whomever they want. Can they not?
Yeah. So
that's a problem.
Yeah. So your individual clubs, if their activity warrants it, they get a slot and they can give it however they want. And then you've got some sections like, we had to amend the bylaws in Louisiana for this year's section slots because the only way that we were allowed through the bylaws to give national slots, up until this point was through your, performance at the section championship. And it was only in the division that you shot the section championship. So you might be an open shooter and you might have shot the section championship as PCC just for fun because it was your section championship. It wasn't like an area match or something, but now you're locked into, that's the only nationals you can get a slot for is what you competed in the section championship with. And then our neighboring state, Mississippi, based it on their bylaws say something different than what I was told on why we didn't get a slot, but they basically base it on participation at club matches. So for somebody like me that is not a Mississippi resident and I'm only shooting the Southern Mississippi matches, I'll never compete with the guys that are shooting all the state club matches. But at the same time, and not to flip my own boat, but I feel like that I would have been the better person to represent that section. But based on participation, I didn't get it. So it's not performance based at all. It was strictly participation. And then Louisiana is only performance based, but only from one match out of the year and only in that one division that you shot at that match. So, you know, I know that it's probably best that each section has their own way to determine how they give slots, but maybe even having two versions of slots, like here's your section slots. And then here goes to your best guys for representing the state. Maybe it's even just one for each nationals that goes to your best guy or whatever. And you could figure out how to, you know, get those metrics yourself. But I would like to see nationals become more performance based on entry. So that way we get to see the best of the best compete out of, on that, at that one match. I mean, there's area matches, there's level twos everywhere. I mean, there's always somewhere for somebody to compete. I know that this is a grassroots organization and stuff like that. And obviously if it was only the best people, they probably wouldn't fill the match, but just sucks when you've been looking forward to something all year and you can't get in because open registration filled within seconds. And now you're just stuck on the outside watching.
I get that. And I said, that's a problem earlier. And I didn't mean it in like, we need to stop doing that, because I actually was given a slot to Nationals 1 year from a local club because of all the help that I had given them
right throughout
the year. So I didn't necessarily earn it with my pistol,
right, but
I earned it with my blood or my sweat and my time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
and
there,
I can respect that too.
Yeah. And I think if you went to a system where everybody knew that everybody there had either earned it with their pistol or their time and sweat, I don't think anybody has an issue with that.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that.
Yeah. All right. So now we're going to back up again. So we talked about how Mel reacted and or didn't. And then there was about a month time frame in there. And then Ken was put in as the interim Area 4 director. How has he reacted to the Louisiana section from the time he's been in till today?
I don't know if you followed Ken much at all prior to him being appointed, but he was very vocal, even on that Area 4 Facebook group that I saw you commenting on at one point in time. He was very vocal, like early January all the way through like early March, very vocal, very on board, telling us to, you know, vote with our pocketbooks and stuff like that. Seemed like he was on our side. And I gave Frank kind of credit for that. You know, when it came out that Ken was the nomination, I was like, you know, I can see that. He seems like he's on our side. It seems like that the membership of Area 4, based on his past record, was not going to be upset. There's not going to be pitchforks and torches in the streets. And it was a safe bet. I had obviously nominated somebody else, and he didn't get chosen. But yeah, so anyways, Ken seemed like an ally. And then within the first week of him being appointed, it went completely the other direction. It went to that you're doing a disservice to your members. You're holding unfair matches. You're not upholding your end of the bylaws, your fiduciary duties. It just literally immediately flipped the script. And I think that made a lot of people upset, and rightfully so. I mean, nobody likes to be bait and switched. And it's not like that he was necessarily running for the position, but, you know, I don't see how taking a position hasn't changed my principles or morals. And I don't think that it should for him either. And that it has is just kind of, it just feels very snaky. And so he's been, I think we're the, based on the spreadsheets that I've been seeing in the Discord, I think we're probably the most efficient protesting section out there right now. We went from $2,064 in Q1 of 2023 to $96 in Q1 of 2024.
Woo!
And that's one club held a match in March, and that's the activity fees from them. But so I think it's a stain on him as an area director. So I think that, you know, he made it a personal thing. If he wasn't put up to it by somebody else, I think it just became a personal thing for him to try to get us in check, because pretty much every other section is still having at least most of their activity still, and we're not having any at all.
Wow. Now, okay, let me back up for a second, because are you saying there's a, and hopefully this doesn't cause any issues. If it is, I can cut this out. If not, we'll let it go. Are you saying there's a Discord with all of the section coordinators across the country?
I don't know that all of them are in there. I know that the majority of the ones that are green on Practical Shooting Insights map are, and there's a subsection in there for just the section coordinators. And then there's sections in there, like threads in there for just general membership of Howler Monkeys. So yeah, that it's definitely a tight ship being ran over there on the Discord. I know a friend of mine who's a match director got his roles taken away because they're trying to keep it somewhat private. I think Jake made it in there at one point in time under an alias, and they've since got rid of him. Ooh. But yeah, that's where the juice comes out before it hits the socials. And so I don't know if those spreadsheets have made it public yet, but somebody is scraping the data and getting the activity fees and stuff like that for last year and this year and comparing them year over year. So there's quite a few sections that are down activity fees pretty significantly, that so much so that you can't say that it's weather or something like that, that it's obviously some form of the protest. And there's even areas and sections that are above what they were over in quarter one of 2023. So,
well, I mean, is there any rule in your bylaw that says you as the section coordinator cannot share the financial data?
Not that I'm aware of. I think, okay. I think the big thing for the section coordinators is, and that's the one that Ken's been harping on, is you're supposed to be the advocate for the organization, and you're supposed to be like promoting only the organization.
But okay.
The way I look at the role is that, you know, you're the coordinator for shooting sports for the state. You know, I talk to the IDPA guys. I'm not the IDPA section coordinator, but, you know, I promote their matches. I promote the PCSL matches. I'm just here to shoot and compete while shooting. So I know it's the USPSA section coordinator, but for me, it's just shooting sports in general. And so, yeah, I don't know about the financial side of things. That was one of the things that I wrote to Ken Cobb about, and was like, look, you know, just give me something to give them. You know, I know you're saying the change is slow and progress is being made, but we can't talk about it. It's like, well, I can't sell that progress is being made, but we can't talk about it. I need to show some progress to get these guys back around to being willing to support this.
That doesn't even sell in Poland, where they do everything backwards.
Right.
So that's nonsense.
Yeah, I just don't understand. I don't understand why they continue to fight. They're just making it worse at this point. I mean, if anything, I feel like the protests here recently has been sort of losing steam. And even I was starting to reach out to clubs and say, hey, look, I've had a couple of people reach out. They want to do classifiers. Can you be the one to host a classifier match for us? And they held a board meeting and voted against it. So Ken's trying to nail me to the cross over something that I've been trying to fix. I'm trying to be an advocate. But at the end of the day, you know, none of the terms were met. We've got nothing but bad things to go off of. Like you mentioned earlier, with the January board meeting, they just come off of getting rid of Scott and half the country going into a revolt. And then they followed it up with immediately trying to remove another area director.
Yep.
And then when that failed, Mel resigned. And I think at that time, Bruce had already resigned. And it just started being resignation after resignation. Rick Steele ended up resigning. And so obviously they feel the pressure. Obviously they know that they can't continue to do what they've been doing, but they still just keep trying, and I just don't understand.
It's a leadership issue. Everything goes back to a leadership issue. It seemed like you received some type of notice from Ken that he was unhappy with your position or how you were acting as section coordinator, and may have questioned whether or not you should even be the section coordinator. Is that correct?
Yep. And so actually, I'll go into how I kind of found out about that. So before I even, I knew that he had got appointed, and I knew that his start date had started, but I figured we wouldn't really hear much from him until the first meeting, and we'd see him in a live stream. And one of the guys that had recently just moved out of the state, who was one of the influential guys here, had reached out to me and said, hey, have you heard from Ken Cobb yet? And I was like, no. He's like, well, he reached out to me because this guy was an MD for one of the clubs out here and has since moved to Texas. And but he reached out to me and said, hey, Ken Cobb had reached out to me. I gave him your number, so he may be calling you. But he's basically calling around to the different clubs and match directors and trying to find out, like, why are we not shooting USPSA? What can he do, or whatever the case may be? I didn't really get into much detail with him. I just found out that instead of reaching out to me, he was reaching out to all the match directors, like, I guess trying to go around me, not realizing that I'm actually, you know, I can be an advocate. You just have to, you know, I'm trying to be a voice for the people. And so I try to keep my personal opinions personal and just fulfill my duty, basically. And so anyways, that's when I had found out that we were even on his radar. And then I think it was a couple days later, he made a post in the Area 4 Facebook group and sort of geared his that post towards the protesting sections. And then if you look on the map, we're the only protesting section in Area 4, so that obviously was about us. And so I had commented on that post, and then the rest is history. He's been sort of on me since then, coming to my own personal page when I was giving out the national slots for handgun nationals and saying that we should return them to the organization because we're not part of USPSA anymore. And that's when we got into an argument about the fact that these slots are based off of last year's activity, not this year's right. activity. So the punishment for this year's protest will come in 2025 based on the slots we do or don't get next year.
Correct.
So, you know, I took offense to that, and you know, I'm trying to stick up for the guys who earned these slots last year. And matter of fact, the two guys that I've had so far reach out for handgun national slots are two guys that aren't even involved in this protest at all. They're not vocal. They're not online. They still shoot USPSA matches. We've got some diehard protesters out here who refuse to shoot USPSA. And obviously that was the case with that club match that just got switched to USPSA and everybody left it. You know, we've got some diehards, but we've got some people who just don't care. They just want to shoot. And those are the guys who are asking for handgun national slots. And Ken wants me to give them back. You know, and these guys have been shooting limited all last year. They're still shooting it all this year. You know, there's nothing, not many people are competing in limited these days at level twos and stuff like that. So handgun nationals is really where they get to see where they stack up against a bunch of guys shooting a limited pistol. And so he, you know, him and actually even Troy came in and made a comment on that post and wanted to know what where the Louisiana bylaws were and stuff, kind of insinuating that I may be doing something that's against the bylaws or something. I don't know. But
Troy did that?
Yeah, and Troy's from Louisiana. So,
but you know, is that in Troy's purview as DNROI?
That I don't know. I mean, he seems to be the enforcer for the organization, so maybe he feels personally attacked because it's his section, because Louisiana is where he's from. I mean, we don't see him anymore, but once upon a time, you know, in 2015 through 2017, we'd see him twice a month at locals, you know, and he would RM the section championship, and you'd see him at a lot of level twos and stuff like that. Now you really only see him at nationals and maybe an RO class.
Okay.
But yeah, I got on their radar when Ken got appointed, and he seems like he's got a personal vendetta against me at this point, but I've never met the man.
I've not either. He is coming on the show tomorrow.
Cool.
So I'll be asking him a bunch of questions. So I've never met him in person. We've never had a conversation in person, but we will tomorrow.
That's good. I'll be curious to see him. Because he swears that he's misunderstood, and I mean, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he does have USPSA's best interest in mind, but it just doesn't seem that way when you're going after the section coordinator of a protesting section who, if he talked to some people out here, realized that I'm actually a pretty reasonable person and I'm pretty well-liked. It would be not a good thing for USPSA if they tried to come after me. And I don't want to see them go down that path because I don't want this to be harder to come back from.
Well, And let's be honest, I remember my question now from earlier, and I'll get there in just a second, but I'll go back to leadership. You are not going to, I mean, look, they tried to end apartheid in South Africa. The government tried to suppress it even more. Mm-hmm. And it went terribly wrong for them. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You're not going to end this protest by breaking out batons and beating people about the head and shoulders. That's not how this is going to work.
I agree.
And my question was, before Mother Nature decided to step in and interrupt us, was has anyone from the board of directors reached out to all of the section coordinators and say, let's have a conversation, all 50 of you or however many there are, mm-hmm. and the nine of us? Has anybody proposed that conversation?
Not to my knowledge.
Does that not seem like the most logical thing to do?
100%. 100%. Because then you've obviously, based on the map and stuff like that, you've obviously got people on both sides in all positions. You've got some board members who are on our side. You've got some board members who aren't. You've got some section coordinators who are and some section coordinators who aren't. I think that's the only way that you come to a compromise is to hear both sides and see what both of us can agree to. And then without having us in that conversation, you're just guessing, you know? And you really have, so far from what I've seen, bias, like almost echo chamber style, where they've got an agenda that they're trying to stick to. And it's like, guys, it's a losing battle. You're going to end up losing the sport. Like, the organization is going to lose the sport. The sport will continue on. We're going to continue shooting and competing like this. But if they don't get this under control soon, I think it's like the perfect timing with Max and PCSL coming out and him starting to implement the things that league was missing that USPSA offered. And I said that in my most recent email to the board, was that, like, we're wasting precious time. Like, your argument before was that we're the only ones with a rule book this nice and RO certification and classification system and all these different things, but the other leagues are starting to have that. And if half the country is still in protest by the time that this thing gets fully fledged, I think it's an easy transition.
Are they trying to say that someone like Jay Slater couldn't come up with a rating system better than the classifier system now for another organization?
Right. And that's the big thing. I've been watching Jay's stuff with the ELO and all that. I think that that is a far superior. I think that guy has got it dialed. I think that is a far superior system. I think is it Jake that runs the high hit factor stuff right now with the classification? I think so. And it would literally just be that easy. Like, reach out to Jay and say, hey, we love what you're doing. Can you show us how we can implement this and we can maybe phase it in over time to where these things are more accurate, you know, and it's a fairer, better system. You know, you got some divisions like PCC that are verifiably easier to make GM in, and then you got some of them like production and limited and stuff like that are much harder to. And it's just arbitrary. It seems like every time I've seen the post from Jay, and I think Competition Shooting Analytics is another one on Instagram that was doing that for a while, putting those statistics out there, that it's obviously just, it seems like somebody's just throwing darts at a dartboard when they come up with some of these high hit factors.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that side of things could easily be fixed by implementing something that somebody's already created. And as far as I know, Jay is willing to offer that to them, but they just refuse.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's a lot of expertise in the membership that I feel doesn't get used. And Todd Weitzel, I just had him on the other night, and I already posted that one.
He's created, the hit factor guy, huh?
Yeah, he created a hit factor rule book, and I like how he separated the divisions into a different rule book, so you can update one without the other. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to update an entire rule book. It's just a couple things here or there. You're done. It's moving on. Now imagine you take all of his stuff, add in an ELO rating system. Now you have hit factor shooting.
Boom. It would literally be that easy.
It would.
And so I don't think that the board is giving that enough credit, honestly, because they're pushing enough people away that they're looking for anything else. And if we stumble upon something that's better, you know, that's an easy sell. It's a tough sell to go back to USPSA at that point.
Or if they try to break out the batons and beat people into submission and they all decide to leave to go to another organization and create it, that you're not recovering from that either.
Right. And I we're at the precipice of that in this state, I can tell you. Because Ken had CC'd me on an email that basically insinuated, he didn't say it flat out, but he insinuated that I was going to be being removed as section coordinator. And I had posted about that on social media, and I probably had, there's probably 150 people who are like every weekend shooters in Louisiana. And I probably had 120 people reach out and said that would be the death of USPSA in the state.
Wow. So they'd lose an entire state.
Overnight, 100%. And I've tried relaying that message. I don't think I've ever spoken to the board or to Ken in a unprofessional way. I've always been trying to be an advocate for both sides. I can see it from both sides. I don't understand some of the board's actions, but at the same time, I know where my shooters are, and this isn't the way that they're going to win them back. If anything, it's just going to drive them away permanently.
Yes. That's why I wish they would stop with the divisiveness and try to pull everybody in, have the discussions, whether it's an easy or a difficult discussion, have that discussion, iron out an understanding and go from there. I think Area 3 is going to be difficult because both times I've talked to Todd, he said, Scott has to be back and Layton has to be gone.
Yeah. I think Layton's
that's a
cancer.
Hard sell.
Yeah. I think Layton's cancer personally. It's definitely not about the shooters for him. It's like ego thing for him. I mean, you can see that on his face in the board meetings. I don't think that guy's good for the sport. I think there's too much on his name already. I don't think that we move forward with him on the board, but luckily I think, I don't think it's been announced officially yet, but I don't think that he's running for Area 2 again this year. So I don't want to be the like vote blue no matter who type of deal, but anybody but Layton is a win in my book for Area 2.
All right, I'm going to pose that question to you in a different way. Is it anybody but Layton, or is it anybody but Layton and whoever he supports?
Ooh, that's a good one. For some reason, that guy has got power over people, it seems. So I really would not like to see a Layton buddy become Area 2. I think it's who's John Burt is the one that is running in Area 2?
I've heard two. John Bird and Competition Shooting Analytics, Kurt McKenna,
Kurt has
announced his.
Yeah, he just recently went. I like Kurt. I like his Instagram and stuff, but ever since he announced running, he's gone super hard on that Ipswich Nationals thing, and I don't think that was a super good look for him. I'd have to see more from that guy, but John Burt so far, I think he's a good guy. I don't think that the two guys running against Layton, either one of them would be a bad deal when compared to Layton. I know we've got Russell for a couple more years. I don't think Ken Cobb wins Area 4. He made a lot of people upset in the last couple weeks. So I would put my money on Alex Acosta winning Area 4. He seems like an ally. And so, yeah, basically, at the end of the day, I feel like by January 1st, 2025, we'll be in a really good spot. But having to endure the next 8 months is going to be difficult if every month they're trying to throw fuel in the fire. I don't think we make it to January, if that's the case. They just need to calm down, show us some good stuff, quit trying to harp on the bad stuff. The meeting Monday last week, 4 hours of the 5-hour meeting was spent on member discipline, when member discipline is what got them in this situation to begin with. So,
yeah, good point. Yeah.
You know, they're telling us that progress is slow and the process of having board meetings is slow. They pretend that they can't communicate throughout the month. You know, I would just be doing things completely different than the way they're doing things. I think Ben's got his head in the right spot, Ben Berry. I think that he's going to be good for the sport. But, yeah, it's kind of like Congress right now, where neither side can get anything done. It's just going to be infighting, and we're just going to be along for the ride for the next 8 months.
Now, you said if they don't get something fixed, we may not make it till January. Expand on that. What do you mean by that?
Well, so like if they remove me as section coordinator, I think that there might be one or two clubs in Louisiana that even it's on the table to go back to USPSA. I think the rest will write it off completely. You know, they're going after some other people. I can't mention publicly because I've been asked not to, but I know of some other people that have gotten their letter already to report to the discipline committee. And based on what happened with the Derricks and the Ben Steggers and stuff like that, that's the same first step that got them a ban. So I think that they're moving towards some things that they won't be able to take back, and they're going to mess with some big groups of people. They're going to piss off some really big groups of people that probably just won't come back. They'll just write it off. You know, it's been it's been over a year of drama. I think just people are just getting tired of it. You know, we've got some new shooters who still haven't even classified who don't want to shoot USPSA. And really, that usually for new shooters, that's the biggest thing. They just want to get classified. They want to see where they're at, and they want to get that masterclass card or GM card. And these guys couldn't be bothered less about it. So, You know, we're at a crossroads. You know, every day that this goes on, it just gets less and less likely that it's going to be a smooth process returning to this. I mean, if in the January meeting they were like, okay, listen, we're going to, instead of get rid of Scott, we're going to give him a warning. If he does anything else, we'll have to boot him, but, you know, we'll put him back in. The protest would have been over then. Overnight, like a light switch, that would have been the end of it. It still would have had people upset, but I don't think that it would be as full-blown as you're seeing now, where they're down revenue in numerous states, you know?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think there's going to be certain people that would be upset regardless.
Right.
And would be vocal about it. But in general, you wouldn't have seen nearly the departure that we have seen.
Right. And so that's the thing, like this club that switched to USPSA. You know, how many people are not shooting the match because it's not USPSA versus how many people left the match because it was USPSA? You know, the high road here is shooting Hit Factor because everybody's willing to shoot it. You know, nobody's like, oh, it's not USPSA, I'm not coming to shoot it. Whereas, like I said, if the reverse is true, then, you know, 90% of the people left this match and all of the setup crew. So we knew all week looking at the registration list that there's no way they hold that match. There's two people that are going to have to set up six stages. They essentially, you know, did club suicide. They didn't reach out to the shooters. They didn't ask for anybody's input. They just made a decision and it cost them a month of revenue. Because they ended up having to cancel the match.
So if Ken were to call you tonight and say, Corey, what would it take for the Louisiana section and the clubs to come back under the USPS umbrella, what would you tell him?
So he did reach out to me and asked me that already. But I could not get 10 seconds into a sentence without him cutting me off and talking over me and giving me veiled threats of removal for me not holding up my fiduciary duties as a section coordinator for the organization. But in either case, Area 3 needs representation, whether that be Andy Erickson or Scott. They've got to be represented by somebody that they feel represents them. Ken Cobb, like, basically not have happened what happened to us with Area 4, where Ken Cobb got appointed, and I don't think there's a single person, even his friends, that would say that they want him to remain in that position. I think Area 3 needs to be made whole and just give up on the retaliatory tactics. Just give us some positive news. Quit spending so much time on negative stuff and let's move this stuff forward. Let's talk about bringing Carry Optics down to 15 rounds. Let's talk about consolidating nationals and coming up with a seeding thing. Because I've heard that from numerous people, that why isn't nationals like every other sport where the national championship is something you have to earn your way to, where it actually means something, where if you got a slot, you felt accomplished. Like that was your goal, was to get a slot to nationals. Cause that means you're worthy of being on the main stage, you know, make it more prestigious basically. But yeah, just stop what they've been doing. Start giving us some insight into the financials. If what they say is true with all the misinformation that Derek's posting on Practical Shooting Insights, then give us something that says otherwise, you know. They're everything's in an executive session. Everything's private. They won't show us any numbers to refute anything that these guys are saying. You know, because when I bring this stuff to the shooters or to the club meetings, that's the questions I get, and I have no answers for them. You know, you got to give us something good to work with, and you got to fix the Area 3 thing. Put the personal agendas aside. Scott is good for the organization, and a lot of people want him back. If for no other reason, just do it for that, you know. Step out of the way and let the guys who do this for a living fix it.
There you go. And I didn't even interrupt you.
it was pretty bad. I recorded a lot of that conversation with him. I just never posted it because I didn't want to go that route. But, I mean, I literally could not get a word in. He called with an agenda and wanted to hear me say that I was going to just, you know, jump back on board like he did.
Well, Corey, that's everything I wanted to cover. Was there anything else that we didn't talk about that you wanted to touch on?
Not really. I think we covered most of the stuff with the protest. If anything, I just wanted to clear the air and let people like Ken and whoever else is working behind the scenes to try to get people like us, like me removed. Like we can be your biggest asset. You know, I'm out there seeing these shooters every single weekend. I set up every match. If you give me something good to work with, if you start doing good instead of bad, we can fix this. You know, but the top down directives and the if you don't do what I say, we're going to remove you, or if you step out of line, we're going to remove you. It hasn't worked. It's not going to work. It will never work. Just give us something to help us fix it.
I don't think trying to infiltrate different groups on social media is going to help either.
No, and you're just kicking the beehive. I mean, yeah. if nothing else, just let it be. If progress takes time, then let it take time, and you know, let it wind down on its own while giving us something good to bring to the shooters. Because so far, it's been a month after month after month of negative stuff. Every board meeting, it gets worse. And you know, I feel like most people, and it just doesn't seem like there's an upside to this, you know.
Yeah, I hear you.
I don't know where it ends, but I do know that I'll throw a plug out there. We're working on it now, and it's something I've got to get cleared with the match directors of the section, because they are the people who consist of the board. But the Louisiana section has some funds built up from all the section championships over the years, and I've got the majority of the club presidents on board with it already. I just was waiting on a quote, but we're trying to bring Pro-Am back to the Gulf Coast. So you'll be seeing that probably in the next couple of months. I've already got quotes to get it all built. We're going to get a bunch of steel built, and I already have a trailer set up for it. We're going to start a traveling match for the Gulf Coast and try to bring Pro-Am back to the area. I know it's something that people always talk about they want to shoot. It's something I never got a chance to shoot, but always have wanted to shoot. And it's getting really close to being a real thing here soon. So hopefully we can get that going. And even though it's not technically USPSA, it's just I'm a huge advocate for competing with firearms. And so I hope that they don't do the wrong thing and take some of these section coordinators out who are fresh in the position, who are still, you know, bright-eyed and have all the good ideas and haven't been burnt out on it yet. And just, you know, work with us, not against us. And we'll work with you and not against you. But they started the fight, and you know, they seem like they want to finish it too. So,
Well, if you start up this Pro-Am thing, if it's a go, we'll have to have you back on and talk about that.
That would be awesome. Because
okay,
it's definitely going to be a thing. I just don't know when. Okay. Obviously, if they remove me from the position, then it's not my funds to spend anymore. But and so that's kind of been something too that's been holding it back here. Is I don't want to get too far along in the process and then get removed. So once this seems clear, it's going to be a thing, and I would love to be back on and try to get as many people to come out to that as possible. Because if a host range will host us, I'll bring the match and I'll host it for them. I'll do the whole thing. All I need is a range to shoot it on.
Okay, and I would like to shout out your wife, because her and I were both commenting on a Ken Cobb post in the Area 4 Facebook page, and it sounded like she might be a section coordinator. So when I asked her about it, she's like, no, but my husband is. I was like, ah, that's how you know what you know. And then that's how you and I ended up getting hooked up to do this.
Yep. She had mentioned it to me actually too.
So shout out to Ashley. Tell her I said thank you.
Real will do.
Until next time.
Don't be a little bitch.
Yeah.